Hey, this is Leo Cologne.
And this is Rebecca Cologne.
This is a Parents Initiative podcast, and we want to thank you for joining us.
We hope that this could be used as a tool that will create an awareness in you as parents to take the initiative in becoming and being the parents that God has called you to be.
For us, it's not about being the perfect parent, but it's about each day making progress, each day moving forward and becoming a better version of yourself.
So you can give others the best version of you as a spouse, parent, family member, and friend.
Welcome to the 24th episode of the Parents Initiative Podcast. This is your host, Leo Cologne, and I have my co-host, Rebecca Cologne.
Hello, everyone.
What's up? So listen, if this is your first time, we want to congratulate you for taking the time to listen. It really means a lot to us, and you're just saying, hey, I am doing my best to be the parent that God has called me to be. And you're making this a priority, and that says a lot about you as a parent. Because the key thing is that you're moving forward each day, you're trying your best, and that's what matters more than anything else, and that you're implementing things that you learn along the way. All right? So for this episode, we're going to talk about the value of structure. The value of structure. Like, if you are some people, you're probably wondering, like, ooh, this is one of those topics, or you're like, maybe this is something you need to definitely work on. But what we're going to do in this episode is we're going to discuss it, but we need to understand what it means first. So, Rebecca, enlighten us in what it means to have structure.
To have structure is the arrangement of and relations between the parts or elements of something complex.
I love that, because it would be safe to say that when it comes to parenting, there is an arrangement of things that must take place. There are a lot of parts and elements involved.
Yes.
And the more kids you have, the more complex it's going to be.
Yes.
So if you have 20 kids, you really need some structure. If you have one kid, you could probably get by with some structure.
Depending on their activities.
Depending on their activities and how involved you are in their lives and how things are just so sporadic and what's going on. Now, you know, as you step into, I think, two or three kids or even more, obviously, you definitely need to have some structure. All right. So in order for us to have structure in our homes, it must start with us as parents. So, you know, this is something that we definitely have been focused on for the last 3-4 years. I mean, we've always had structure in our home, some sense of structure, you know, because when we were full-time youth pastors, you know, We had to obviously live in structure, but a lot of our structure was more based
on what was dictated.
It was dictated by what was going on in ministry.
Right.
And we don't say that in a negative sense. It's just, that's just the way it was. You know, we both grew up on homes that our parents were ministers. Like for me, my dad, he pastored a church, but also worked a full-time job, you know, along with my mom. Rebecca's parents at times, most of the time that they were in ministry, they were pretty involved in ministry. They didn't have some of them had second. Your mom worked a lot, but your dad was able to work at the church as well.
Right. And then, well, my mom's extra time outside of work was devoted to whatever events was, you know, taking place at the time. And like I said, this is not
it's not a negative thing,
but we now are more in control of what we do with our time. Because we are on buses.
Yeah, we work for ourselves, and you definitely have to have structure. And and the key thing is like, this is important, because if you don't have structure in your own personal life, just put parenting aside for a second. If you don't have structure in your own personal life, you're going to have a hard time implementing structure in your home. So, you know, Rebecca, listen, and this is not me demeaning her in any way. She is a very strong woman, right? She has her way of doing things, obviously. But there's one thing that, and we laugh about this all the time, is that if it's not for structure, she'll be like that kid that when she sees a squirrel, she gets like totally distracted. And that's just the way, that's just her personality. But she has definitely gotten better in that area in her life. And she would easily admit that as well.
Oh, yeah. I'm the butterfly follower.
Yeah, she's the butterfly follower. And but she... Can you talk to us a little bit, or just our audience, about structure and what it looks like for you?
Yes. You know, a few years ago when I came out of an office position that kind of gave me structure. When you work for yourself and you work from home, if you don't have structure and self-discipline, nothing's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Nothing's going to get done. And, you know, especially when you have people that are leaning on you for guidance and for instruction and also example. But I really started living more by my calendar. And a friend of mine, actually Megan Valentine, she always used to say, structure is my friend. She still says that to today, but structure is my friend. And so I really grabbed a hold of that whenever I had heard her share that at a conference we were at. And I just really started saying that to myself, you know, structure is my friend, you know, and let my calendar be a help tool to me, not something that I dreaded. This is one of the reasons why. Okay, yes, I am the squirrel, butterfly follower. My mind can be 900 different places, but getting nothing done. And so I have to know myself and understand that if I'm giving myself tasks throughout the day in increments of time, then I get a lot more done. And I'm giving those things my best, because sometimes multitasking, there are things that you should not multitask doing because you don't do great at it. But not only that, keeping yourself on track and keeping yourself focused throughout the day helps you to accomplish things, which in return helps you to feel like a winner mentally, and you're showing up more confident because, hey, I'm getting a lot of stuff done. And that will help you in so many ways, not just getting things done, but also unloading your mind. You know, for a long time, I just felt like I was always busy and overwhelmed.
And when she felt like that, you were very tense.
Oh, I was tense. I was not a good mama. I was not a happy wife. I would lash out really quickly. And I know this sounds maybe so silly and trivial, but it's so simple as learning how to get things out of my head and on paper or an electronic device. We carry around these wonderful devices. Yes, they can take too much of our time, but you know what? They could also help manage our time better and put them to work.
I mean, give you a structure.
And give you the structure that you need. I have alarms that go off for everything. I have alarms to tell me to eat. I have alarms that tell me I have an appointment coming up. I have an alarm sometimes to tell me, don't forget, you gotta buy toilet paper. Yeah. You know, when you think about those kinds of things, that is really what helps so much. And starting out your day with that, it will help you to not let so much time go by and nothing gets accomplished.
Yeah, I think when you know, you could easily sometimes walk into a home and know what there's when there's chaos and people don't have structure, and it reflects on the kids as well.
Yeah.
You know, and in so many ways is not fair to them. You know, so like obviously first thing we want to do is encourage you to implement structure in your own life.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not about just totally revamping your whole life in one day. That is not something that it, you know, is possible. You know, obviously with Jesus, anything is possible, but I'm a firm believer that as you take steps and move forward every day and implement certain things every day, it gets easier.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you mess up, hey, it's all good. Just pick up the next day or the next moment and do your best to try again the next time. You know, so I'm a person of structure. I have a set way of doing things. I get up early in the morning, and my wife knows that if my structure is thrown off a little bit, it just throws me for a loop, and that is something that I'm personally working on still to this day, but I just have a set way of doing things. And when I'm able to do those things that way, my day goes smoother, you know, and I am more at rest, more at peace. And it just helps me to stay focused and to get more things done.
Yeah, I miss spontaneity.
Yes, and I'm not. I am not miss
anything.
What are you trying to say?
You're not miss anything. That's I hope you're not a miss.
No, I'm not miss anything. So it's important that you have that structure. So, you know, what are some ways that you can implement structure in your home?
Well, like I said, starting with the calendar. That could be a really huge help, like sharing a calendar with the whole family.
Yeah, me and Rebecca, we share a calendar, and we know what's going on.
It took a little bit of time for you to decide that would be a great idea.
It took a little time for me to walk into that one. She implemented it first, and I was like, there's just no way that I could share a calendar with this lady.
But you know what? It's worked out pretty good.
Yeah, it works out pretty good.
Yeah, and
I just don't look at it as much as I should.
Yeah, because he'd be like, where are you going? I'm like, it's on the calendar.
Well, you know, Rebecca has her way of putting everything on the calendar.
I do. I put so much. Well, I do. I put so much on the calendar.
If I look at it, I get a little overwhelmed.
No.
But I for the most part, I do. I'm very good at adding stuff to the calendar.
Yeah.
And then trying to keep up with everything else that's going on.
Right. Absolutely. And that really helps with your kids as well when you've got all of the different things going on, especially as they get older or they get more into different things, but
morning and evening routines.
Yeah, morning and evening routines. You know, we do the same thing every single morning,
Monday through Friday.
It is like clockwork. When it comes to our son getting up, him getting himself ready, and all those things, my daughter gets up at a specific time. I get her up while they're gone, so we have like our morning time together where we. It's very calm. I mean, I don't like a lot of noise in the morning. I'm the one that likes the quiet house in the morning. I've learned to love the silence because, you know, it just is very restful and peaceful and waking up instead of to chaos and loud noises. So you just kind of learn what really helps you in your state of mind. You might love to listen to music or whatever it may be, podcast to get you motivated. There's specific times that I end up doing that, but I know me, I'm better when I wake up peaceful and restful. Even my daughter, sometimes I just walk in and turn her light on and turn her fan off and just walk out.
And she knows it's time to get up.
And she knows it's time to get up. Because I know she does better actually like that than as opposed to me calling her name. Sometimes I rub her hair or whatever and just say her name. It's time to get up, and then I walk out.
Well, my son, I just open the door and say, get up, son.
And then he does. He just gets up. And so they both have learned their routines. You know, rules that you have.
But it's one thing. Go back to the routines before we go into the rules.
Yeah.
You know, I think you set the tone for the day in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, if your morning is chaotic, your morning is yelling and backbiting and just a lot of stuff going on, then you may need to get up a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may need to start implementing your kids, telling your kids the importance of laying some things out. I know with Zane, we don't lay out clothes for him.
No.
He does pretty good about getting himself ready. But for some kids, they may need that.
Yeah, they may need it. Like with Marcela, that because of what she, when she gets up, I actually grab her stuff from the laundry room and I just set it on her area. I let her choose her own shoes.
Yeah, and that stuff is hung up and ready to go.
Yeah, it's already
so ready. There's just little things that, you know, that you could implement as set structure.
That creates less chaos.
Less chaos in the morning. I am the type of individual that I lay out my clothes the morning before.
Yeah.
At night. That's just, it's easier for me. You know, that's the structure because I don't want to be looking around for stuff in the morning. You know, I have my coffee set on a timer. So when I get out of bed, all I got to do is grab it and I'm good. You know, so that's just little structure things that I have that is that makes it easier for me in the morning. So it's important that you establish that morning and evening routine. Our kids know what time they need to start getting ready for bed.
Right. And when they come home from school, we have a set routine as well. Like I have time on our calendar blocked off for specific one-on-one time with Marcela.
And they know that when they get home, it's homework first.
Yeah, homework.
They grab a snack, have homework.
Yeah, we do snack and homework while you're picking up Zane. And we have that undivided attention with one another. And so she knows that this is our time and it's uninterrupted. And then she can go take her shower and do her things. We have a set dinner time. You know, and this isn't always perfect. I will tell you, a lot of times it's 6 o'clock is our dinner, but there might be things that I can't help. So like the other night we went to go speak at a church and we needed to leave the house at 6. And so we had our dinner, Y'all might think we're crazy, but we had our dinner at 4 o'clock when everybody got home from school. We had an early dinner, and then we had a snack on the way. Yeah. And so whatever it is, we try not to remove important things like dinner time, one-on-one homework time from the calendar. Just move it around if need be. You know, I was always told, you know, as I began to create structure that, you know, you have rocks that you put in your calendar that are unmovable.
Yep.
I mean, unremovable. But you can move them around and adjust them. But that allows you to set all the little things that kind of go in around it. So I love that. One of the things that we coach with the program that we help other people find freedom and breakthrough in, we actually start helping people to learn that kind of structure in their life.
Yep.
Learning how to put those big rocks in place and then the little stones. That way you can have room for all the little sand stuff.
Yep.
You know how to fill up your schedule and your time and tell your time what to do. That way you're not wasting it because it is very precious. You can't get more. Right. You know, you don't get more time in the day, but you can actually, in a way, buy back your time by spending it wisely.
And we all know, obviously, hopefully most of you that are listening to this, you know the importance of having rules in your house. Keeping those rules consistently, you know, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in a few moments, but every kid's different,
yeah.
You know, and you have to approach every kid differently and how you handle the rules and how you do things. And it's key for you to find out what works best for you. And then when it comes to the chores in the house, it's important that you have that set structure. Our kids know on Saturday, you know, that's when they do their stuff. I normally do my stuff either Thursday or Friday around the house. And then Saturday, take care of their stuff. We have an eight-year-old daughter, and yeah, we have to remind her to do her things, which that is common, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But then there is a time that you need to say, hey, look, it's time for you to take more responsibility, and you need to keep that structure and prepare them for life. And then at times you need to bring some spontaneity, you know, like you may want to break some rules here and there just to have a little fun. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that if you just change things up a little bit, just to let them know how important it is to have fun in life.
Yeah, you know, like today we're going to, it's not normal that we go to a movie every day. So when they get home from school, that's something that we're going to do together.
Yeah.
You know, mixing things up. Hey, we're going to go to the park today. You know, instead of hanging out at the house, we're going to go and do this or go for a family walk. You know, mix things up, add great things to your day. But whenever you're spending your time wisely with the things that are really, really important that have to get done, it allows for that kind of freedom and flexibility.
Yeah, and Zane, he already told me this morning, he knows what they're doing this afternoon. He has a lot of schoolwork. And, you know, we're just allowing him to do this. And then tomorrow, guess what he's going to be doing?
Yeah,
schoolwork.
He's already got his
plan. He already knows what he's going to do. You know, and something that he worked out himself. So I want to read this article to you, and I found it very resourceful, and I think it is something that will encourage you and challenge you. Just talks about the importance of structure. It says children need both affection and structure in order to develop into secure, happy adults. But if parents could only provide one, it should be structure, said Lisa DeMar, a psychologist who specializes in adolescent girls, and is the author of Untangled, Guiding Teenage Girls Through the Seven Transition into Adulthood. And I love this a lot. Okay, Rebecca, if you feel like you want to add something, feel free to do so. She says that they could get warmth from their teachers, from their friends, parents, but they could only get structure from parents.
Yeah.
DeMar said in a conversation with Kevin Delaney. So you think about that. I mean, they could easily get love and warmth from other people, which that's not necessarily a bad thing, and they should definitely get it from you, but we live in a very chaotic world,
right?
And they need to have structure is very important for us to have. Back to the article, that contradicts many of the messages parents are sent through popular culture and parenting guides. But DeMar, who also writes for the New York Times, said studies prove it out. Children who are raised in a stern, business-like way may be less happy as adults, but they'll have the tools they need to function. Children raised without discipline or rules can be stunted and ill-equipped for adulthood. So the worst outcomes come when children are raised without either. and they run the risk of delinquency, she said, it's far better to make sure children have both.
Yeah.
They need to feel loved, and they need to know the rules, she said. That's your job as parents. Adolescents actually want structure from their parents, despite their protestations to the contrary. Permissiveness and inconsistency from parents can be unsettling and provoke anxiety, she said. Being a teenager feels like you're out of control and you're surrounded by people who are out of control, she said. You don't want parents to be out of control. Damar, the mother of her own teenage daughter, says she gives parents far few hard and fast rules in her practice, but she does offer some advice on how to raise teens. Frame rules around safety. Kids are more apt to follow guidelines if they understand the rules. Purpose is to keep them safe. Insisting they obey for reasons of morality or hierarchy because I'm your father is more likely to backfire. And I love that she said that because,
yeah.
You know, you don't have these rules. You don't frame these rules around the fact that it's because you said so, but is there to keep them safe.
Right. You're letting them know, I have your best interests at heart. This is not because I'm just a dictator.
And this next one, she says, and this is, I love this a lot, one too. I really like this one. It says, don't underestimate the power of apologizing. It tells teenagers they're respected and it helps build trust.
Yeah.
That's really good.
And also, it helps them to understand grace.
Yep.
Because you are implementing grace, but you're also showing them that, you know what, they're not going to always do it perfect, but we can learn from where we do, what we do when we're imperfect.
Yeah, in the same way that, you know, you show others grace, you'll be giving grace yourself. That's a mic drop. Stress is a normal part of growing up, and it helps teens grow and become resilient. It becomes a problem when they have no downtime or opportunities to relax.
Yeah, they need to know how to chill.
Yeah, they do.
We need to know how to chill.
I need to know how to chill.
You know, we're better people when we do take those moments to learn how to rest, relax, to focus. Whether it's yoga. I love that day we were, where was he at school?
Yeah, he was in school.
And they were teaching him how to breathe.
And to meditate.
And to quiet their mind and really to think about good things. He goes, Mom, it felt so good. I was like, I told you.
Yeah, because the teacher told him specifically to think about something that makes them happy.
Yeah.
And he said it was just really cool experience.
Yeah.
So. Next one, technology should be introduced to kids as late as possible. It can be kept out of their bedrooms. Video games, social media, and the internet demand their attention, which makes technology the enemy of sleep, which is critical for teens' health, Damar said. You may lose the battle, but I'd rather you lose the battle with a 17-year-old than a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
Ultimately, she said, parents are the best judge of what's best for their children. There's a million ways to get this right.
Yeah, because there are so many kids today that don't know how to rest. That don't know how to quiet their minds, that they're constantly being stimulated by things, and when they're not stimulated by things, they don't understand how to even operate.
Yep.
So it's up to us parents to create that structure and boundaries to create that healthy home.
Yep. So Rebecca.
Yes. So you know, if you would love to be a part of Parents Initiative in any way, if you would like for us to partner with you, we would love to partner with you. We are congratulating you for listening to this. You know, rate it, review it, share it, join our community on Facebook or Instagram, and invite others to come along. If you would love for Parents Initiative to be presented in your church, Bible study, or an event you're hosting, be sure to contact us through our website, social media pages. The links are found in the show notes below.
Yeah, and one more thing before we let you guys go. You know, if you have something that you would like for us to hit on, a topic or something, feel free to hit us up on social media.
Yep.
And we'll love to cover those topics, and we'll do our research. We'll share what we feel like is the right way, obviously the biblical way. And we're all about equipping you guys, and we wish you the best. Just know that we are only better together. Until next week.
We thank you for joining us today, especially those of you that are faithful supporters of Parents Initiative. It's because of you we are able to put this together.
If you'd like to become a supporter, you can click on the link on the description to give now or go to parentsinit.com and scroll to the bottom of the page and click on a donate button. where you could give a one-time tax-deductible gift or be set up to give monthly.
If you enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe. You can share it with your friends. You can click the share button. Take a screenshot, share it on your social stories, and tag us at Parents Initiative. Thank you so much for joining us today.